Well, sir, it's early evening as we enter the small house, halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Victor Gook and his son, Mr. Rush Gook. Mr. Victor Gook is established in his easy chair with the newspaper, while Mr. Rush Gook, contortionistically athwart the davenport, reads a volume of fiction. And at length, the elder gentleman says...
Is that a new Third Lieutenant Stanley book you got there?
Yeah, borrowed it off from Bluetooth Johnson this afternoon.
What's the title?
Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley in the United States, or Outwitting the New York Stock Market Plungers.
Let's look at it once.
You'd keep it.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd start reading it and get interested, and I wouldn't get it back for an hour.
That's a fine thing to say to your poor old father.
Let me finish this chapter, and then you can have it all evening.
Where are you going?
Over to Rooster Davis's. We're going to work algebra problems together. I believe this book is the best one in the whole series.
Third Lieutenant Stanley is tough as ever?
Listen, the gallant young officer produced from his pocket a bulky roll of banknotes. He turned to the heavy-jowled gambler and said, Hogan, I have your $90,000. Can you cover it?
Why don't you ever finish a thing, Raj?
Hogan sneered and flicked a speck of dust from the sleeve of his checkered suit. I never bet less than a quarter of a million, he said. And a huge cluster of diamonds.
I don't talk just to hear myself think, Rush. I asked you a question. I asked you why you never finish a thing.
Did I forget?
You left a pile of cups and saucers sitting on the stove. You never wiped the oilcloth like I told you to. And when you finished drying the dishes, you threw your towel on a chair.
Well, I'll go and finish.
Don't bother. Your mother picked up after you. Did you read Bess's letter?
Uh-uh.
It's here on the library table.
What's new in Carberry?
Oh, lots of things.
Third Lieutenant Stanley gives his sweetheart an evening gown made out of $50 bills.
Third Lieutenant Stanley is a man with perfect taste. Nobody could accuse him of being vulgar.
No, sir. He put style in his actions. The Countess was radiant. Her dress was made of $50 bills, banknotes of $1,000 denomination being added at the bodice for variety. Newly minted 50-cent pieces dangled from her ears. And 3-cent postage stamps were
taken. I want to read Aunt Bess's letter, Rush.
Okay. Pretty soon, Third Lieutenant Stanley flips a quarter in the river just to show he don't give a darn.
This is a lovely long letter. See how many pages?
Huh?
Of course, Bess writes a big hand.
Golly.
I'll want it quiet, son.
No, but Third Lieutenant Stanley gives his sweetheart a bicycle made out of solid gold.
You better pay attention to this. There's little thingsies about you in it.
I know what they are already. Think about Rush so often. Bet he's as tall as his father. Walter will never forget the time Rush come running in from outdoors and says, Uncle Walter, Rush, you want
Penny
to buy...
Dear sister in all, what's this?
Thought I would write and see how you are feeling.
No, I mean this. Somebody scribbled stuff at the top of the page. Apples, matches, potatoes, starch, and salt.
Grocery, sir.
Yeah, Beth must have done that. Never looked where she was writing. See, when she writes a letter, there's always so many interruptions with the kids and all. She don't know whether she's standing on her head or her feet. Dear sister and all, I thought I would write and see how you and Walter's kneecap has let up considerable on the twinges. Received your lovely letter and glad to hear from you. When did I write last?
Couldn't see.
Was it last week or the week before?
No.
Guess it was the week before. How is Rush?
Just fine, tell her.
What?
Does she expect you to answer that question? It's like writing somebody a letter and saying, is that a rattlesnake behind you?
Individual I guess couldn't... we can get along without the smartness, mister.
Hmm.
You just better watch your step. I'm liable to tell Aunt Beth some of your actions.
Hmm.
You're not a grown-up man quite yet.
Hmm.
How is Rush? Betty is as tall as his father. Walter will never forget the time he come running in from outdoors and said, Uncle Walter, Rushy wants Penny to buy Rainbow. It was after a rain, and he saw the pretty rainbow and wanted to buy it to take home. Remember when you done that?
Uh-uh.
I don't either. Bess has told the story a squillion times, but I don't remember it happening. You know what I think, Vic? I think she's got Rush mixed up with Cousin Sterling's little boy. The weather here has been just dandy. I saw by the Freeport paper where you folks had quite a lot of snow a few weeks ago. Hope you didn't get any of it down your collar. Ha ha. You know who I bet it like this?
Yeah.
Miss Husher. She's the jolly kind, too. If her and Beth ever got together, it'd be one joke after another. Hope you didn't get any of it down your collar. Ha ha. It's too bad Walter ain't got more fun in him. He's always so serious all the time.
Yeah.
Still and all, though, I suppose it's best the way it is. Husband solemn, wife jolly. Kind of halfway balances. Heard from Esther and Muddy at last. They're all settled in Milwaukee now, and Muddy seems to like his situation in the gasoline station fine. He's the one that wipes off your windshield. He don't get very much pay yet, Esther says, but they like his work quite good, and Muddy thinks before long he will get the job of actually putting the gasoline in the different automobiles. He's learning all the time. You know who these people are, don't you? You don't?
No.
Well, then why didn't you ask?
Huh?
Let a person read on and on about somebody you don't know and ain't interested enough to inquire about them.
Oh, who are Lester and Ruby?
Esther and Muddy. They're a young married couple.
Oh.
That's all you want to know about them, huh?
I wonder.
This goes to all the trouble of writing a letter about people and nobody's interested.
Well, I'm interested. Esther and Muddy, no doubt, are a young married couple that used to live in Carpenter.
Muddy used to work for Walter in the barber shop.
Oh.
He's the one Walter had to let him go. Kept cutting his own hair and shaving his own face all the time, instead of working on the customers. He don't bear Walter any grudge, though, for discharging him. When he got his walking papers, he says, I'm not cut out for a barber anyway. And he give Walter $5.
What for?
Oh, just for a little present.
That's a lot like the story they tell on Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap.
Is it? Well, Sadie, Ida Hoogle married George Crosspeople after all these years. The wedding was last Tuesday. I went with Mrs. Johnson. Walter couldn't leave the shop. They done kind of a queer thing that was wrote up in the Freeport paper. Instead of Ida changing her name to Crosspeople, George changed his name to Hoogle. That is queer.
The husband took the wife's name instead of the other way around?
Yeah. They even changed the sign on the meat market. Instead of Crosspeople's Butcher Shop, it is now Hoogle's Butcher Shop. Lots of people in Carberry don't like it a bit. How is Vic? I don't know whether you remember Ella Caxton or not. Anyway, she died in February. Ha ha.
Ha-ha.
Well, surely she don't... Oh, the ha-ha is about something else. Ha-ha, you'll have to excuse this blotch, Sadie. Yuncy just come by the table and bumped my elbow with her doll. Ha-ha. She was sitting at the table writing his letter, and Yuncy come by and bumped her elbow with her doll. See the blotch? Son?
Uh-huh.
I'd like to see Yuncy. Bet she's grown a foot.
She has. She can get a job in the circus.
What?
This is a comical joke I heard in the minstrel show. See, if a person grew a foot, they'd have 3 feet. The way I heard it, the fellow says, hey, pork chop, my brother grew another foot. Part of a big circus.
I'm just
going
to tell Aunt Bess your actions.
I never made anything against Aunt Bess.
Just wait and see. Harry Siplerch has given up his piano lessons. He got mad at his teacher because she made him learn scales when he wanted to play pretty pieces. Harry has always been a headstrong boy that way. How is Rush?
She asked that before, didn't she?
Yeah. How is Rush? I bet he's as tall as his father by now. Walter will never forget the time he come running in from outdoors and said, Uncle Walter, Rush, you want Penny to buy ring. Oh, she said all this in the first part of the letter.
Maybe she...
Oh, I know. The way Bess writes letters, she starts one and leaves it and comes back to it the next day. What happened was she started this letter, say, of a Friday and put it away and finished it maybe of a Saturday. Forgot what she wrote at the beginning, see? Hallie and Leonard Winkman visited us over Sunday late in February. They asked to be remembered to you all. How is Vic? She done it again. How is Vic? Tell him not to slip on the sidewalk and break his leg.
That makes you think there's any danger of that.
Well, I guess... Oh, it's got ha-ha after it. Tell Vic not to slip on the sidewalk and break his leg. Ha-ha. It's a joke. Well, Sadie, I guess this is all for now. Take care of yourself and write soon, your loving sister, Bess. Wasn't that a lovely, long, interesting letter?
Yeah.
I'll have to get busy and answer it soon. Boy, let's go to the picture show.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.